We'll go to the book of Acts, chapter number 27. Acts, chapter number 27. And I want to encourage you, as Brother Jackie already admonished, to be at the camp meeting tonight, the final service. Brother Larry Winkler will be preaching. He set a high bar, I'll say that. He says more in 25 minutes than most preachers say in 2 hours. He don't miss a word. He don't waste a word. And he preaches about, so if you want to get in and get out, tonight's your night. You'll get in and you'll hear 3 or 4 songs. And he'll say, you'll find the scripture. And then he starts and then he stops and it's over. So you better get it. Don't blink or you'll miss it. But as powerful a preaching as you could ever hear. And I hope you'll be there tonight and it'll be wonderful. We are, just before we preach on, I ask you to pray, Brother Cameron. He had to leave. Taylor's taking him to the doctor, ER or something I heard about during Sunday school, so pray for them. Also, Brother Alex and his family are, I think, at Rose Hill this morning on deputation, so pray for our missionaries as they're out this morning. Acts chapter number 27, in our Bibles, let's remain seated this morning. Got a good bit of scripture to read, and I will try to be like Brother Winkler, but I emphasize try. That's a huge task to do, but let's begin in verse number 9 of Acts chapter number 27. If you're there, say amen. Now when much time was spent and when sailing was dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phineas, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Now, there's convincing evidence that you should not let females drive. The ship crashed because they let her drive. And that's a joke, but I thought it was pretty funny. Even God has a sense of humor. And I was thinking, you know, they name boats and vessels, usually female names, all I've ever heard them. And I don't know where that come from, but all the way back in the Bible, it was referred to as a female. But they let her drive. Verse 16, and running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and have loosed from Crete and have not loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given them all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. We'll stop reading right there. You can keep your Bible open, though. We'll refer to some other texts. This is a very familiar text. I'm sure you have heard it preached on. I've preached from it many, many times. But I want to preach on this subject this morning. What you don't do if you want to make it through. There's some things that you can't afford to do if you want to make it through the storm of your life. This was not just any small storm. This was a major, major storm. When we think about storms in the Bible, there are many that we could go to, but when you think storm in the Bible, my mind drifts automatically to Acts chapter 27, that major, major storm, none greater than the flood, really, that we find in the entire Word of God. This is the only storm that God gave a name to in the whole Word of God. And so, when we're thinking about storms, I believe this is about as good a place to go to as you can find in the entire Bible. So as we consider this morning the storms of life, and you know this, and I don't have to educate anybody this morning, storms are something that we will all go through. Just like when the clouds gather in your neighborhood or in mine. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. You can't control them. They happen. However, there are some storms, and I'll say more about this, that we could prevent. This storm, this major storm, could have been prevented. I mean, it may have still arose and been out in the sea, but they wouldn't have been in it. Did you know there are some storms that you create and make and put yourself right in the middle of? This one could have been avoided. God sent a man to tell them, this is not good. We should not head out. But they wouldn't listen. And so, as we consider the storms, I want to look at a few things in the text that'll help us all survive and make it through if we can learn not to do some things. And by the way, the verse 44 says this, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped, all safe to land. They made it. I mean, major as the storm was, as scary and dark and long as it lasted, they all made it through. And I believe we can learn something from that. Because sadly, I can't report to you today that every Christian that I know through my ministry, just in the last, how many years you say, Jenny, it would be this week or next week? 16 years of a full-time ministry. Just in that short period of time. Brother Stephen, I wish I could tell you that everybody's made it through their storm. Brother Ned, I've seen storms arise, many by their own making, many that could have been avoided. And if they had just not done some things that's found in this scripture, if they could have just heeded and been patient and dealt with it differently, they could have made it, but they didn't. And now they're out, and now they're castaways, and they're shipwrecked, and their life is just in a mess this morning. And I don't want that to be your testimony or mine. I come nigh myself to drowning in the storm of my life and not making it through. But by the grace of God, I'm still here. I did see the black skies part and the sun shine again and the birds chirp again and the blessings of God flow again. And you too can do that, but it ain't guaranteed. There's at least three things I want to deal with this morning that you can't afford to do when you're in the storm of your life. I ain't talking about a rainstorm, not even a bad lightning storm. I mean a serious storm. You say, well, I'm not in one. Hang on, honey. As sure as the sun will rise in the morning, you too will face a storm bigger than anything you've ever faced. It's not if it's coming, it's when. And when it does, you need to know how to deal with it. So let's look at these quickly. Number one, what's the first thing that you can't do. Don't stop hearing. What do you mean by that? Look at verses 9, 10, and 11 again. Now when much time was spent, and the sailing was dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." They didn't listen. They didn't hear. And I'm telling you, in the storm of your life, don't stop hearing. Don't stop listening for the Lord to speak to you. God will send somebody your way. God will give a word your direction. And you can't afford, when you're in the storm of your life and it's already hard to hear and the waves are crashing and the lightning is cracking and the thunder is rolling, it's already hard not to hear. But you can't afford to quit listening, and you can't afford to just stop hearing. God has a word and you need it in the storm of your life. And God sent a word to them prior to. By the way, come here for a minute. Wouldn't you much rather avoid the storm than to have to make it through? Now, when you're in it, yeah, I want to make it to the other side. But, oh, it'd be much better to just not have to deal with it to start with. How many of you that are at least my age? That marks you up too out, young little whippersnappers. If you 40, 45, in that neighborhood and above, how many of you wish in some times of your life that you could go to in your mind that you'd have listened prior to having to learn it the hard way? Oh, we didn't want to hear what Mama had to say. We thought we were smarter than Mama. Didn't want to hear what the preacher had to say. Thought we had it all. He ain't smart as he thinks he is. I'm going to deal with that more in a minute. I'm just saying, you can't afford to stop listening. Don't stop hearing in the storm. Let me say, look. All storms ain't self-made. There's some storms that you can't avoid. There's some sovereign storms that God sends. There's some storms that are satanic. You can't stop them. But then there's those like this one. They're self-made and created. And you put yourself in it. Whatever the case, don't stop hearing in the storm. The reason they ended up in the storm is because God, listen, God sent them a man. God sent them a word. Paul stood up on the ship and said, "Sirs, this ain't good. Let's not go." And they stopped hearing. They didn't want to hear it. If that ain't like the average Baptist I know, I could just stop and drop the anchor right here. Do you know how much trouble we could stay out of if... Listen, I ain't the perfect preacher. I'm far from it. I just bragged on the preacher we've been listening to and will brag on. And if you miss him, it's your loss. And I'm saying that to a lot of you ain't seen. If you're physically unable, then that's, can't come. That's one thing. But you are missing out on manna from heaven. It cost not to listen. Seems like the older I get, the smarter my mama gets. And it ain't like she's just all of a sudden got smart. What she used to say that I thought was dumb come out and turned out to be right. And I thought she was so foolish. And I didn't want to hear it. I said, "Mama, you crazy. You an old fogey. You just too strict." And oh my, the heartache that I could have saved. The scars of sin that I wouldn't carry today in my body and in my mind had I just heard and listened. No telling, just from the preaching that comes across this pulpit, the storms that you could skip, avoid altogether, the heartache, the divorce, the scars, the bitterness, the hurt, if you just hear before it ever gets here. Now let's move on past avoiding it and skipping it and talk about how you make it through it. Because the reality is, let's go back to all of us who are a little bit gray-headed, cricket. We got there, didn't we? Hey, wouldn't it be wonderful? And I thought this, JD. I said, Lord, why would you set it up this way? Why is it that you got to get old, Brother David, before you learn? Why you got to be so stupid when you're young? You listening? Are you hearing? Don't stop hearing. That's what I'm preaching about. Why is it that way? Why do you have to go through all the nonsense and go through? Listen, you can't avoid it. When I preach, y'all listen, when I preach, it's good for a boy, a man, not to touch a woman. Hear that. Y'all, there's a reason God said that. God ain't being mean. I thought my mom was just being so mean. My teachers was just being so mean. I didn't want no authority because I was a rebellious young man, as most are. Not my child. Oh, yeah, please. That's horns, not halo. They devils. God didn't say it's good for a man not to touch a woman just so he could put parameters and restrict us. God knew. He's wise and he knows, and parents know, and they've lived life longer than we. And when they say, don't go there, don't hang with them, don't talk to them, don't listen to that, don't do that. It ain't the preacher being mean and strict and too strong, and it ain't parents doing that. They love you. They want the best for you, and they don't want you falling into a mess that's going to rob your life. So, the reality is, though, everybody ain't going to avoid the storm. Most are going to learn the hard way. I hope that ain't true. Y'all listening? I hope you'll hear and avoid it. But most of us end up in it. And we don't hear the pause prior to. But I'm going to show you right here in this text. It wasn't long till they wanted to hear Paul. They needed to hear Paul. And they was hanging on Paul's every word. The Bible said, listen, look at verse 13. The Bible said, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, losing thence, they sailed close by Crete. Supposing that they had obtained their purpose. Did you catch that? Supposing they had obtained their purpose. In other words, see, Paul, you didn't know what you was talking about. We suppose it's still blue skies. What are you talking about? It's going to be dangerous to my body and dangerous to these men and dangerous to the ship. We suppose we've attained our purpose. We know better. We didn't need to hear you. Ain't that just like young rebellious people and a lot of old rebellious people? We think we know better than God. What a prideful thought that is. We think we know better than when God sends preaching our way, whether it's me or Brother Jackie or any other preacher that's worth their salt, and they preach the Word of God and it comes across the wrong way, it hits us the wrong way and we don't like it and we reject it. Listen, that's God's Word. And if it's preached in its context, if it ain't out of bounds, you should receive that. And you should hear that, whether you like it or not, because your flesh ain't going to like something going contrary to it. And you'll get out and say, see, I'm doing this. I presume and I assume that that was wrong. I'm getting by. Because see, that when the sun's still shining, that's verse 13. I want you to cast your eyes on the very next verse. Look at it. Look at verse 14. That don't last long. Verse 14 says, but not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclodon. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. You may think you're doing all right and you may think you're getting by, but I'm here to tell you, be sure your sin will find you out. You can't afford not to hear it and heed it. And they began to experience, and when it runs out, the storm, listen, when the pleasure of sin runs out, it ain't going to be long and the storm clouds will gather and the devil will come shackling you and grabbing you and enslaving you. And those things that were fun will now absolutely enslave you. One verse apart, what they thought they got by with, the very next verse, they found out they couldn't. You can't afford not to hear it. When God sends a word, hear it. Don't stop hearing in the storm. Can't afford it. I can't afford it. You can't. Our kids can't afford it. That's why you ought to have them in church. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. It ain't this that I get up and say, hey, you ought to be in church. You ought to be in Sunday school. You ought to be here every time the doors is open. Not so we can have a big crowd and applaud men and say, woo, look at us. Look at Morningstar. We're growing and thriving. And no, it's because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And you're going to need to know and to hear what's been said, because the storm's going to come and you're going to need that word that you missed. You're going to need it. Brother Jackie mentioned not being able to be at the camp meeting. He's getting the DVDs or the CDs or whatever. Can I say this? God don't have a DVD waiting on you. God speaks and expects you to be there and hear it. And he ain't recording things for when you don't. No, God speaks. That's why he said, be there. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, because he's going to speak. And when he does, you need to be there to hear it. And so, quickly, they moved on. So hearing will not only help you stay out of the storm, but it'll help you survive the storms. They didn't want to listen to Paul in verses 11 and 12, but later on, listen to these verses down in verse 30, how that changed. I said in this message already, my mama got way smarter the older I got. What I didn't used to want to hear, now I call her to hear. Preachers that I used to not want to hear, now I'll call them to get their advice and say, tell me, what would you do? How would you act? How would you respond? How do you deal with this? Listen to the difference in tone of their verbiage. Verse 30, and the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship when they had let down their boat into the sea under color, as though they wouldn't have cast anchors out of the foreship. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. They listening now? Paul said, cut it off. They cut it off. They ain't objecting. They ain't saying, I don't want to hear that anymore. They ain't saying, what do you say, Captain? Listen, at first, they didn't care nothing about what Paul had to say. By the end of this story, he's really the captain of the ship. Whatever he says goes, and they're hanging on every word because they know he's been with God. And they need a word from God, because even the captain of the ship, the pro, is fearing for his life. Hey, some storms you can make it through on your own, but I'm telling you, these other storms, you're going to need God. Your husband ain't going to be able to help you. Your wife, your preacher, and nobody else is going to be able to help you. And you're going to need God. You're going to need to hear from heaven. They went on, wherefore I pray you, Paul said, take some meat. You know what they did? They eat. And when they had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Verse 42, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. Ain't that something? At the beginning, they didn't want to hear. By the end, they wanted it all. So number one, don't stop hearing if you're going to make it. Number two, quickly, don't stop hoping. You can't afford to lose hope when you're in the storm of your life. And it's easy to do. You're weary, you're tired, it's dark, it's gloomy. Brother Alex and them, they're going to Iceland. You ought to study the suicide rate over there. It's astronomical high. You know why? One of the major things that they've studied and found is because it stays dark half the time. It rains all the time. It's dreary all the time. And it just sets a tone of depression. And I'm saying, when you're in the storm and you ain't seen sunlight in days, and you ain't heard from nobody in days, and you feel like you're just wishing for the day and nothing comes, and it seems like hours and hours and turn into days, and feels like you're out there forever, and it's easy to lose hope. It's easy to feel like nobody's coming to help me. Nobody's going to save me. And I'm telling you, if you're going to make it, you've got to keep hope. Listen to verse 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Everyone on the ship had lost hope except one man, and that was Paul. The Bible says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. In our chapter, it goes on to say, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. In other words, I told you so. And you don't ever really want to hear that, especially from your wife. I told you. And Paul said, you should have listened. You should have heard me. But he goes on and he says, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Wherefore, because of that, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Paul's saying, I know you've lost hope, but you listen. I'm here to tell you. I'm here to share a word with you. Keep hearing, but keep hoping. Help is on the way. We are going to make it through this. We're going to make it to land. I know some of you on board can't swim, and I've already told you the bad news. The ship ain't going to make it. That's pretty bad. If you can't swim and the ship's going down, that's like you can't fly and the plane going down. You're dead. You're in trouble. And he done told them the ship ain't going to make it. And some of them's in shackles. Some of them's in chains. And how you going to swim like that? I heard a story about a young boy. I think he was 13 years old who survived the Holocaust. And his name was Major Hurst. And He and his family was taken by cattle cars to Auschwitz, and then when they got there, they separated them, took his brothers from him and his sisters another way, and his mom and daddy, and put them in those camps and ultimately murdered and gassed his family, killed them, burned them alive. But their Major Hurst was this young 13-year-old boy, and months and months and even years went by. I think he was 15 when the people who come in and rescued him. And these pictures of him, and you've saw the pictures of those who made it through the Holocaust and who was in those encampments, and they were didn't even look human. I mean, so just skin and bones, and having been through the worst hell on earth a person could possibly go through. And they asked this young boy, Mayor Hurst, they said, somebody found this story, and he was like in his 90s. And they interviewed him, and they said, Mayor Hurst, what? Tell us, how did you make it? How did you survive that? And he said, I've seen men go weeks without food and water and make it. He said, I know you can do it because I did. He said, I've seen men go for months without ever seeing a human being or hearing a voice or seeing the sun or seeing anything but a dark dungeon and make it. And he said, I know they can because I did. He said, but you want to know, and the reason, and you asked me how did I make it? He said, I've never seen a man that can make it one day that lost hope. He said, I kept hope, and that kept me alive. He said, I watched so many of the people in there, and they would lose hope and quickly die. I'm telling you, if you give up, that's true in life. You ever seen somebody with cancer or seen somebody with a illness and they're fighting and fighting and prevailing, and though it's hard, they're pushing and fighting. But when they lose hope, you might as well make the funeral arrangements because it's over. When they give up and they're done fighting, and it's the same spiritually speaking, you can't afford when the storm is raging and you're in the midst of it, you got to keep hope that there's a God in heaven, and that God who is over the storm is over you, and He will come to you and rescue you, and it's going to be hard. I ain't here to tell you listen, I ain't here to tell you storms are easy, because they ain't. If you ever been through a divorce, you know that's a storm that ain't easy. It ain't easy on the husband and the wife. It ain't easy on the children. It ain't easy on anybody. It's hard. It hurts. But the sun will shine again. The clouds will part. Don't you lose hope. Don't you give up. Right, sitting right here, sitting right there. And I could point all around this building to people who's went through the heartache and the storm of their life, losing somebody that they committed themselves to forever, and it ended. And you're talking about losing hope. And it ain't just with marriage and divorce. It's what about a child who's living in sin? We got mothers in this room this morning that have not spoken to their children in years because they're running the roads and in sin. It'd be easy to finally just say, I give up. Don't quit, mama. Hey, don't stop praying and don't lose your hope. There's a God in heaven who knows where they are. Matter of fact, I wouldn't go into detail publicly, but I saw one of your children, and God gave me about 15 minutes with them about a week ago and let me deal with them in love, but let them know they ought to call their mama and let her hear their voice. And tears fell down his face, and he told me, I'm so sorry, and I just don't know what to say. I said, it don't matter what you say. She'll want to hear you. She'll want to hear your voice call. And I'm telling you, Mama, don't give up hope. They're still there. They're still there, and God's still dealing with them and letting them cross paths and get a word from God. I don't care if they're on the other side of the world. God has people and has a word that can reach them. Don't give up hope. I'm glad people didn't give up hope on me, because I'd be done. You can't afford to give up hope. The Bible has a lot to say about hope. I got to hurry. The Bible said, well, Paul said to Titus, he said, we are looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible said, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hoped it is of the Lord's mercy. We're not consumed for his compassions fail not, and they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Bible said, experience worketh patience. Patience worketh hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which he hath given us. The Bible says, be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you by a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You can't lose hope if you're going to make it through. By the way, we're not a hopeless crowd singing gloom, despair, and agony on me. No, if anybody in the world should have hope, it's the child of God. The saved, blood-washed children of God. I mean, we were without hope. We were hopeless sinners headed for hell, and God found us. If he can do that, he can do anything. If he made you fit for heaven, there ain't nothing you'll face in life that he can't fix. Amen. So, number one, don't stop hearing. Number two, don't stop hoping. Finally, you can't afford to stop hanging on. And I'll be done quickly. Verse 42, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea to get to land. And the rest, listen, and the rest, some on board, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Some of the men, as I mentioned, could not swim for whatever reason. I'm sure it wasn't a big problem for those that were free and could swim to just jump right in and start backstroking and swimming toward shore. But for others, it wasn't that easy. For others, they were shackled and they had things in their life that prevented them and hindered them from just making it from there where they was in the midst of the storm to the land. And listen, I'm telling you, you got to hang on with all that you can. God will send a board your way. He'll send a broken piece your way to let you float in to shore even when you can't swim, even when you're shackled, even when you're in sin. I'm not telling you something I read in a book. I experienced it. God will send something to help you to shore. And you got to hang on. And I mean for dear life, because you will make it if you'll hold on. Don't let go. Don't let out. Don't quit. Don't quit and don't give up or give out. Hang on. It will get better. The devil wants you to stop, quit, and you can't afford that if you're going to make it. No. By the way, there wasn't a lifeboat waiting. There wasn't life jackets that they could hold on to. And I'm sure there was nothing else that they thought that could save them. But there is a God in heaven who will allow even the broken pieces of a ship to float your way and see to it that he supplies handfuls of purpose, on purpose, right on time. I mean, when they were going under for the last time, here just appeared a broken piece of board they grabbed onto. And when God sent, I'm done, and I close with this, but please hear me. When God sends you something as small, you say, just a board? Just a broken 2x4? What good's that going to do anybody? It's going to do you a whole lot if you hang on to it. And to those over there doing the backstroke and cutting flips and playing because they free and it ain't no big deal, a little broken board don't look like much, but to that one that can't swim, it's everything. When you're drowning, a little broke piece that'll keep you floating is big. Don't overlook small victories. I have come into church more times than I can tell you, hanging on by a thread, thinking I can't do this no more. I ain't fit for this. And my world falling in, and get to church and God will take a little, not a whole verse, not a whole chapter, not even, I mean, just a little broken piece of a verse, just break off just enough to give me to latch on, to keep my head above water. I've come to church, and God let a singer get up there and sing a song. I mean, just a broken singer. I ain't saying your singing is broke. I'm saying you're just a broken sinner. And God uses broken things. Praise the Lord. And a singer get up, and me being my world's crumbling, and a singer get up and begin to sing. Listen to this, the words of this. I looked it up so I'd have the words right. But here lately, God's been using a song here, I Know How I Made It. I Made It by Grace. Boy, that's helped me. Another one I thought about, just something small God will send to keep you floating. This song, Dottie Rambo wrote it, said, when I'm low in spirit, I cry, Lord, lift me up. I want to go higher with thee. But nothing grows high on the mountain, so he picked out this valley for me. He leads me beside the still waters somewhere in the valley below. He leads me beside the still waters. He draws me aside to be tested and tried. In the valley, he restoreth my soul. The second part of that song says, it's dark as a dungeon, and the lights seldom shine. And I question, Lord, why must this be? And he tells me there's strength in my sorrow, and there's victory in trials for me. Then he pulls me aside to be tested and tried, and he picked out the... I'm just saying, God will send a song, a word, a verse, a person to come up and hug you and tell you, you're going to make it. I'm for you. I believe in you. And to them, they just doing what they normally do. But when you are drowning, that little broken word, that little piece of a song will float you on into the bank and you will make it. Don't lose hope. Don't quit hearing. Don't quit hoping, and don't quit hanging on. And you will make it. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, take your word. Help us, Lord, to just take a simple, simple thought. And for that one struggling the most, Lord, I pray you'd help them to take the truth of your word, to take a little nugget, Lord, a little broken piece, God, from a broken preacher, and encourage them, Lord, to hear and to have hope, Lord, and to hang on. And God, soon, Lord, they'll be on dry ground. The stars will be shining. The sun will be shining. Lord, life will be beautiful again. I pray you'd help them restore a marriage. God, restore a relationship. God, if there's somebody in the storm of their life or never have experienced salvation, I pray you'd show them and reveal to them, oh God, where to hear. They've heard, and how to have hope, and that's in Christ. Have your way, Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. She's going to play a verse. You come. If you need these altars, they're open.